Well, thank you all for coming today. Managing transitions is a big topic. It really is. I don't have a handout. No, I don't know. I need to. I can be better. If you all have name tags, please show me your name tags. I got you and Judy, Frazee. I got Frazee and Judy and Cindy and Nancy and Julie. Leon. LaShawn, good to see you. And then I have Joe and Grace. And this is Debbie right back here. She's my host and bodyguard. She takes all my questions and she's my driver. So I'm excited to be here. We just got done with a class that we had. We packed it out in here. And it was all about guests and how to create a culture in your life Bible study where guests want to come back. And it was just fun. It was a lot of like energy and laughing. This is going to be a little bit different, okay? This is, if you're looking for the laughing class, this is not if you're looking for holy yoga, that's down the hall. Yeah, the holy yoga, you gotta redeem it. So I'm just going to sit down and talk with y'all, just kind of working through this. I might stand up a little bit and we work on this. But I want to walk y'all through today the idea of managing transitions. And the way I'm going to phrase a lot of what we're going to talk about today is helping someone else. Because I know none of us in here need any help. Okay, I know all of y'all are 100% figured out your life and none of you need any guidance. You already said. So we're going to talk about how to help all the other people. All right, how to help people who are working through stuff and need help. And let me introduce myself. So my name is Bo Patterson. I'm the adult ministries pastor at a small church called Champion Forest, just north of here, all right? So we're like y'all's Champion Forest campus is kind of what it's like. I've served at four of the largest churches in America. So I grew up at an even smaller church in Dallas called Prestonwood Baptist Church. That was my home church. I thought every church had 15,000 on a Sunday. I thought every church had a Broadway play that was bigger than Broadway. I just thought this is normal. Right? I got saved at that church, got called to ministry at that church, became an intern at that church, and worked for this young hotshot college pastor named Jarrett Stevens, who's now the pastor of Champion Forest. And so we go back a long ways, and I've only done adult life group ministry my entire ministry. I've never done anything else. I did student ministry for one day, and then I decided to surrender my life to life groups. And so I've worked at just some large churches. I don't think the small ones want to hire me at all. They don't like me. But I've just worked there. Primary focus is evangelism, discipleship. I'm married to Carrie. Carrie's on the right. We've been married for 15 years. We met each other at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, or SWBITS, is that what we call it, in Fort Worth. I sat on the front row in a suit and tie. I worked at Prestonwood. There's a dress code. She sat on the back row in sweats, and I spent the whole class looking at her. And so we just knew there was something. And then I have an 11-year-old named Zane and a 9-year-old named Lily. And so what we're going to talk about today is, it's this fascinating concept. I really do think this is fascinating. That through our normal, you know, just year to years, we will be impacted by change. And when change happens to us or others, it can be a shock. It can be expected. But it's always felt, and then we always have to figure out, so okay, what do we do with this? What do I say? What do I not say? The best coaching I ever got as a pastor is what not to say when someone's going through a hard time. You know, it's not to say, hey, let me know if you need anything. It's just to show up and just do it. Don't ask if the newly widow needs to get their lawn mowed. Just mow the lawn. Just get it done. Just do it. I even heard one pastor who, this widow, she was just so smart. She had a list of things that needed to be done. She made a bowl, put it out on her front porch, and as church members came by, they'd pick something out of the bowl, and they'd just get it done for her. So she didn't have to, okay, well, I need this done. I need that done. She just wanted to make it quick and simple and easy, and it helped, and everybody was able to love on her and minister to her. I've been trained on what not to say when someone passes away, where you say, I know they're in a better place. This is the worst things you can say. Or I know how you feel. Or you try to empathize, but you kind of invalidate in the midst of it. And so just to say, this is terrible. That's what this is. This is terrible. And I feel with you. Just to be real, more real than a presentation. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to y'all about three different things, three different stages that someone might go through, and how to kind of look at this. So I went through a transition recently. I've been at Champion Forest for a year. So let's just count the transitions. I worked at a large church called Lake Point. That's another large church in Dallas. And it was bigger than Prestonwood. And I resigned from my job there. It was just not a fit. And so I'm changing my job. Pastor called me, so I resigned there, came here. That's another one. I got a new job. We moved from Dallas to Houston. I am a Rangers fan. Okay. Now there's a bunch of Astros around me. Okay. I'm a Cowboys fan. There's a bunch of Texans around here. Okay. I'm a Mavs fan. And, it's like, man, of all the places, like, this is just where people actually know where I'm from, and we have beef with each other before I even get to meet them. And so there's changes there. I moved to Tomball from Dallas. That's a change, y'all. Like, that's a big change. And I went to my first HEB. So there's a transition, right? It was great. I'm in love with HEB. And so we have small little transitions that are funny. We have these massive things. And my kids, big transitions for them. Big transitions. My son moved here in fifth grade. He had the worst year of school he's ever had in life. He got migraines. We had to pick him up at like lunch every day. They were so bad. And you got to believe it was hard, like these transitions. So I'm going to try to get where I can see everybody. All right, there we go. So nobody moved because now I can see everybody. Yes, all right. So what helped me is there's a book called Managing Transitions. And you need to know, it is written from more of a vision leadership concept, but the principles are amazing. And so you don't have to read the book, because I'm going to tell you what it says. But the truth and the problem with managing transitions is this: change is situational, transition is psychological. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest issue you're going to face, and that others you lead are going to face. A change happens in an instant. One day, the person's pregnant. The next day, there's a baby. That's an instant. There's a change. When my wife had our boy, they handed me the baby. And I was like, what are you doing? I don't know what I'm doing. You're a dad now. It was an instant where it changed. Change focuses on the outcome. So there's pretty much a binary, did it happen or did it not, that involves change. Do I have a job? Do I not have a job? And I thought about this in the car, so I'm not trying to be crass. I'm just trying to be like, as we process, do I have a spouse? Do I not have a spouse? Do I have a baby? Do I not have a baby? Like, do I have a parent? Do I not have a parent? There are these, within an instant, things can change. And the other thing is, change fails if it doesn't happen. So if you're expecting a change and the change doesn't happen, then that's a whole nother thing to deal with, that you were expecting something to happen, the change didn't happen. But this is very momentary, instant, circumstantial events. One day I lived in Dallas, the next day I lived in Tomball. It happened that quick. It wasn't a transition. It was a change. But transition is psychological. So transition happens over time. And we can get stuck where we've made a change, but we've not made a transition. So let that sink in. Something's happened, but we haven't psychologically made the transition. And that's normal. So we're going to talk about this in just a second. Transition focuses on the beginning of the end. It doesn't focus on the end. It focuses on the beginning of the end. And a transition cannot take place unless you focus on the beginning of losing what happened, of losing that person, of losing that job, of losing that home that burned down, you know, that hit like in the hurricane, or, you know, man, Richard's getting after it over there, man. He preaches at FBC Jacks, y'all. And transition fails if there's no new beginning. So this is really key here. So if someone has experienced a change, but they never experience a new beginning, they've never transitioned. They've never experienced what the new thing God has for them in this life is. This is really easy to talk about, like in a room like this, right? Like we're just talking about words and, you know, it's word salad a little bit and we're just saying statements. But this can be real in people's lives. What are some changes that you know people around you have experienced that are extremely impactful? What changes have you noticed?
For myself, found out my husband was unfaithful, and then I didn't know what would happen, but eventually we got a divorce. That's a transition.
That's a change and
a
transition.
Yes, and then transitioning over time.
Yes.
And focusing not on the beginning, on the beginning of the end.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. All transitions start with the beginning of the end. This is ending. And one day we will have a new beginning.
From the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
And it fails if there's no new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because I believe my transition has succeeded.
Yeah.
Because I have a new beginning.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It takes time.
It does.
Yeah.
This is not something we should rush to.
Mm-hmm.
But we're aware of this. If there's never a new beginning, then we're still really haven't ever transitioned through what we're going through. What else do you think is a big change?
We're leaders in the college ministry.
Yeah.
And so when students graduate, it can be hard for them to
from
being a part of this ministry to, okay, now where do I go?
Yeah, I'm in the young adult ministry now.
And moving on can be.
That's a big deal. There are so many transitions in y'all's age right now. Like, you graduate high school, you go to college, you graduate college, you're now a young adult, and now you meet someone, and now you get married, and now you, like, y'all, there's a lot, and it's all fun, so stick with it, don't give up. But some of us in here, we haven't had a change in a while. Like, it's just been, it's longer periods between the changes, and that's what youth can deal with. Y'all can deal with all the change. But yeah, that's hard. It's hard when a couple gets married, and there's not a transition from being single under your parents' home to married outside. That's a big struggle with young marrieds, that, man, we're still hanging out with your family like all the time. We never see my family. What about our family? Like, when are we going to discover our identity and not just your identity that I'm happy to be a part of? That's a huge transition that takes forever, right, to sometimes happen. I shouldn't say forever. So edit that, Debbie. What else is a big change that people will have? Big change.
Sometimes it changes your health.
Yeah.
And sometimes that isn't necessarily instant. It can be a gradual deterioration.
But the diagnosis can be instant. You know, one day you wonder, and the next day you find out you have a diagnosis. So you're right. There can be a change. But then there can be this process where that change is going to take a while to see if we can change the change. And transition, like having a process, what does that mean? What does that look like? My dad, who's 75, just got diagnosed with early Alzheimer's. And so he announced it to us, and that was a change. So now we're all like, what does that mean? What is it? What are you talking about? And how is that going to affect you? How is that going to affect mom? How is it going to affect us? Because we're in Houston now. Like, what do you need? You know, he didn't even know any of those answers yet. So that's a transition we're working through. Give me two more.
Death.
Mm-hmm. That's the big one, mm-hmm. right? That when someone dies, it's an instant. But then there's a transition that occurs in us learning to live a new normal without them and what that looks like. It's really good.
Retirement is
That's a huge one.
You have to invent a whole new life, like because you come from
a certain
schedule, right?
Well,
it's been controlled to some extent by others, and now you've got to figure all that out.
Mm-hmm. Right? You got to retool, reinvent. What do I want to spend my time doing now? Because it gets pretty boring pretty quick if you're like, I'm just going to hang out at home, you know? Mm-hmm. I watch so much QVC.
And even though we say, when we're looking forward to those years, I want to spend my time doing things that have purpose. But then when we get there, it's like, it takes a while to figure, well, what are those things that have purpose that also feed my soul?
Right. You know? That's really good. That's really good. So be aware. Like, there's multiple changes. We're not ever really aware of the change that's coming unless it's like planned. But if you notice a check in someone, if you notice someone's down, if you know when someone's isolating or withdrawing, it could be that they're still transitioning from that change. And have a heart for them. Give grace. Give mercy. I did not give my 11-year-old a lot of grace during fifth grade. Because I was like, well, I transitioned in a month. It took me a month to transition to Houston. But then again, I had a job. I was busy all day. Everyone has to be my friend when I oversee them. You know, like, I'm constantly coming up with fun stuff to do at work. He's walking into a school where he knows literally no one. And he's getting migraines. It's
and
not the same.
You are used to transition.
Yes, I'm an adult.
You've had a lot of them.
Right. And so I've had to have a bigger heart for him. And I've had to kind of retool and analyze where he's at in transitions. So let me give you three parts of transitions. This is the meat. And I'm so sorry. I don't have any Bible verses for y'all today, okay? This is just psychology to help you help people. And I'm going to let you take the Word of God that here at Houston's First and use that to give Him glory. So the first thing is it's all about ending, losing, and letting go. This is a phase that we all try to get past really quick, and we shouldn't. It's the idea. The first phase of transition is an ending and the time when you need to help people work through loss. There is an ending. We do not need to just move past it. We need to experience this loss. We need to sit with someone in loss, and we need to be able to just be there. I resigned from that church I told you about. I probably shouldn't have said the name. I went to my dad and I just said, am I broken? Like, is there just something messed up about me that I can't work at a church like this? And he didn't say, buck up. Come on, man. Like, you know, you got another job coming up. Like, he didn't say, Jared's already called you. You're set. He just sat with me in that. And I was 40, and he was like, you're not broken. Mm-hmm. And he was just with me. And he just let me experience the loss of the friends and the work and the purpose I had there. No, and I had something next. He let me experience that loss. He let me sit through the loss. And that's a big part of the first step of transition, ending, losing, and letting go. The second part of transition is the neutral zone. It's the second phase. It's an in-between time when the old is gone, but the new isn't fully real, when critical psychological realignments take place. This is just some murky water where we don't know what's next. And it can be one of the scariest things about transition. There's a lot of fear about the neutral zone. Mm-hmm. It's just like, what's going to happen? I don't know. But it can also be one of the greatest tools in someone making a transition. So we'll talk about that here in a second. Because I don't want to get too heady, and Richard's yelling, so I want to, like, you know, I want to keep you all interested too. Man, I-10 is right back there. Y'all know that?
Well, yeah.
You know? That's unique. Yeah, they're still driving. It's fascinating. Last thing is the new beginning. The third phase is when people develop a new identity, experience new energy, and discover a new sense of purpose. This is where all of us people want people to get immediately. Like, we want to, hey, man, good things are coming. Hey, everything's going to be fine. Like, God loves you. God's got a plan. Like, we're all focused on the new beginning when they're not ready for that yet. But this is how you know someone has transitioned. So everyone told us, hey, as soon as your kids make friends here, they're going to be set because they'll have a new beginning. They'll have new people to hang out with. They'll have new activities. They'll have friendships. And so it'll be good. So we're kind of still waiting for that. But we're praying for that. But that would show a new beginning has taken place. So let me draw this for you in case I'm not being clear. This is the way it looks. Okay. This is letting go. So someone starts here, and a majority of what they're doing is letting go. At the same time, there's a little bit of that neutral zone where they're kind of working through in their head what they're doing. I'm going to make that smaller. This neutral zone. And at the same time, there's a little bit of that new beginning. And it slowly becomes everything. So it's hear me. I'm not saying that there's a day in which you no longer grieve. There's a day in which you no longer think about the loss. That might still be here, but you'll have more of a new beginning, and you're still figuring out a few other things, but it's a transition as you go. I hope I'm not painting a picture where one day it just changes. Transition is this kind of murky middle ground that people have to work through, and they got to get to that new beginning for it to be fully realized. All right, let me ask for questions now, because then we're going to get to some, like, practical steps. Do y'all notice how sometimes we rush people through the letting go?
Or we rush ourselves because I have a tendency, my girlfriend calls me lemonade girl. Right?
Okay.
So I want to
make lemonade out of lemons.
I want to get there quick.
Yeah.
So the downside is, you know, I don't process it.
Yeah.
In a healthy way.
Yeah.
I want to just block it out.
And when we block it out, it still comes out. It comes out sideways, and your body feels it, and so your body naturally will do it. A pastor of mine, he moved from his church in Tennessee to Dallas. He took over a new church, and he didn't let himself mourn all the friendships that he lost and the city that he lost that he grew up in and all of his family that was still there. He just said, I'm just going to buck up, and we're just going to do church, and he had an anxiety attack on stage. In front of 8,000 people, and he said, I'll never preach again. I can't get up on stage and preach. I shut down. And so he got some therapy, and he got some help, and then did some desensitization where they would bring him out on stage with the same lights. He had to wear the same outfit that he had the anxiety attack in. Same music was playing, and he just did that over and over and over. And he also worked through the loss. And as he worked through the loss, it stopped coming out sideways. And he worked through his anxiety, and now he's a preaching machine, you know. So it can get there, you know. This is really good. This is really good. Y'all notice this too with letting go? We usually rush past letting go. Or we chastise someone. Man, you're still hung up on that? Like, that was a year ago. Like, because we don't want them to live in that, but they're still living in it, and that's okay. It's part of letting go. The neutral zone, it's a murky middle ground. Okay, it's the perfect picture of, you know, something's next, but you have no idea what it is. It's the kid who applies for college and has no clue who the letters are going to come back for acceptance, right? It's the, you've applied for 100 jobs, you have no clue what's coming back. There's a murky ground. It's looking for a spouse, and you've met people, and you think they're interested in you, and you don't really know if they are, and you're just, it's a murky ground. And you kind of have this feeling. You know, Leon, you're a pastor at the downtown campus, and so there's probably some murky ground when you start a campus. And when you lead a campus, like, all right, what's going to happen? Like, I think we have vision set, but we're still waiting on the people. So it's like a leadership thing too, right? How long have you been the pastor in the downtown campus?
Pastor for 3 years, a little bit over 3 years.
Okay, and how long has the campus existed?
Campus has been there since 2011.
Okay.
But in the spot we're in, 2017 was a
so boom, you just named like three transitions.
Yep.
The start of it, you came, that's a transition. Where people are like, I don't know, Leon, you know, like I'm trying to figure out Leon, I'm trying to see if I like him. You know, there's a little neutral ground there. And moving to a new site, my goodness, that's a lot. And so, and we don't even know what God has in store next. When a church gets a new pastor, that's a big transition, y'all. It can happen in a moment, but it's a big transition. And so people have to like experience the loss of, I mean, I love this guy, but he went to do something else. Neutral zone. Oh, really? I'm out bought in the new guy, but new beginning. We're family. We're on vision. We're locked in, and there's movement, right? But you can't get there unless you start with the loss. All right, one more question. One more like feedback. So I would maybe ask you to personally think about a transition that you might be going through, about a change that's happened or you know that's coming, and to kind of give yourself a little bit of headspace right now to see where you're at. You know, which one do you lean toward the most? Which one feels more natural to you, and why do you feel more natural? And which one causes you anxiety to be in or stress to be in? And just to notice that, not necessarily to fix it, but just to notice that and to be aware, because your people that you lead are struggling with this as well. They're working through these things. So here are some practical steps for each one just to help you guys out. So first, how to help people let go. If you want to help people let go in a healthy way, here are a few ideas. First, identify what is lost. Talk with somebody and ask questions. If someone's passed away, hey, tell me about them. If someone's switching from college to young adults, like, just chat it out. Like, hey, I know you love this class. What did you love so much about it? Like, what was so great about it? And let them come up with things they didn't even know. Help them identify what is lost here, because like, when a parent passes away, it's not just the parent, it's the relationship with their spouse, maybe it's with the kids, it's with the responsibilities, it's they knew the passwords to the bank accounts. Like, there's so much more here. They were always the one who did the lawn, they were always the one who got the groceries, and you're starting to notice that they're going to be feeling some pain points a lot in these little areas of things that they didn't even know they've lost. So get that out. Like, identify with people what they've lost and validate that. Lean in and encourage them. This one's super important. I got to tell you, working at a church, this is one. At churches, the church is more than a business. All right, you also need to know that. But we are not less than a business. We still gotta follow the rules of the land. We still gotta follow laws that and deal with money and finances. We have to follow OSHA. We don't just get to say religious exemption. You know, like, there are laws that churches have to follow, HR laws. And sometimes it doesn't work out. And so this has helped me when I've had to talk to staff where it just doesn't work out. You have to expect overreaction. There has been a loss. Expect overreaction. And I've become this is normal. And so I've had to have talks with somebody and they have a wild answer and way too much energy than I thought they'd have about this loss in their life. And I used to think, man, they are weird. Like something must have happened. But when now I understand going through some loss, expect overreaction. This is normal. It's okay. I would never want to be an HR guy because I'm sure they get cussed out because people get mad when they lose a job. You should expect that. If you fire someone, they go, yeah, all right. And they go, whoa, that's weird. Like we probably should have talked earlier. But if someone has a wild swing of emotion or a wild thing they do, that they just take this random trip because of this thing, don't criticize them, don't judge them. Expect overreaction. They just had a loss. And be okay with that. Be cool with that. Acknowledge loss openly. Talk about it. Dialogue about it. Lean into this. Check in when you already think you've checked in enough. Check in again. Keep talking about the loss because people still want to know someone's there with them, that someone's there along their side. It is just kind and considerate to lean in with someone and validate, then to cut them off. Accept signs of grieving, right? And we know the five stages of grieving, right? With denial and anger and bargaining and depression and acceptance. That whoever made that, by the way, has gone back and completely changed it. They've added more. Like, they're like, oh, there's way more stages, by the way. But that's just what we remember because that's what first came out. And so we accept signs of grieving and we look for that. I remember when I lost my grandfather, I had just learned the five stages of grieving and I experienced all five stages within 24 hours. And that was okay. That's what it was for me. But I noticed it was different from my parents and they were in different stages and anger and bargaining specifically. And just to be okay, just let them. Let them. Yeah, it's denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Huh?
Dabda.
Is that how you remember it? Yeah. Yeah. Man, I'm going to tell y'all stuff, and Tim, help me on this. I'm telling Tim on the mic. But when I resigned from that church in Dallas, like, I walked out that day high as a kite. Like, I was like, this is the best day of my life. Straight up denial. like, it was not a good day. I was going to leave all my friends and these people I poured into and all this stuff. And even though I knew it wasn't a good fit and it wasn't going to be our future, I was just trying to, like, put on a good walk, put on a good show, like, you know, I don't need you, you know, that kind of stuff. And it wasn't until a couple of days where the denial just finally broke, and it was anger. And then it was bargaining. What could I have done better? Maybe if I would have talked to this person differently, I would have liked them more, and we would have had a better relationship. And then there's just sadness, just true sadness. And then there was a day of acceptance, right? That's part of the transition, but that's part of the loss transition. We accept signs of grieving. All right, last one, then we're going to talk. And you treat the past with respect. This is really key. The best way you can help somebody with a loss is, like, find an object or something that's meaningful and make it a big deal. Like, I can't tell you more than this. Like, when they shut down large companies, the thing that they noticed at these companies is, and it happened over and over and over across the U.S., is when people left, you know, they took their pictures of their kids and their wife and everything, but they also started taking things from the company that had the name on it because they wanted to remember. They wanted an object to remember their history. They wanted something that reminded them of this awesome thing that had been part of their past. And so if you're talking with someone and they're talking about the loss of someone in their life, say, hey, do you have a picture of them? Yeah, I mean, it's over. Can you bring it out here? Like, I want to see it. And I have my grandfather's ring that he wore in this picture that was on his casket. And I have it by my bedside. I have no idea why. I'm just probably figuring it out now. But, like, I love that ring. And it's just this meaningful ring to me for my grandfather, just to remember him by. And so treat the past with respect. Find an object. Find something that can help remind them of what it was and the good times that were there, even though the change might be not what they wanted. Yeah, any questions about this? This is really big. Oh, Frazee's.
I don't have a question. Question
here.
This is really helpful. My brother lost his wife last year.
Yeah.
It just helps me see things more clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Help him.
Yeah, and people grieve, you know, in different ways, but there's people who lose a spouse and they wake up and still talk to them. And you're like, great, you should do that. Like, you should have their picture and have their favorite music and these objects and these things that remember you of a cherished time. That's all really healthy. It's all really good. That's really good, Debbie. Thanks for sharing that. All right. It's almost like 10 o'clock, so you guys are like, you know, about to fall asleep. What time is it?
It's 20 till 10.
20 till 10?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, man, I had a while, dude. I had a while, Leon.
I have a question.
Oh, please. Yes.
I don't know if you...
Go ahead, yeah, you can try.
So the transition from the church in Dallas, was that... When did the transit... Why did the transition come about? Did you feel like my time was up here, or did the church say, hey, it's time?
So it's wild. That's a great question, Leon. Who's our campus pastor at the downtown campus? So it was fascinating. So we had this like 7 service Christmas Eve thing, right? It kills you. And I hated Christmas. And and it wasn't last year, because last year is when I got here, but it was the Christmas before last year. And I had just finished it, and I just felt God say, this is your last Christmas here. Like, it was an overwhelming, this is your last Christmas here. And one of the staff members walked by, his name was Ty, and I said, hey, Ty, God just told me this is my last Christmas here. And he said, no, he didn't, that's not true. You know, it's not going to happen. Like, you're going to be here for the rest of your life. And I was like, nah, man, he literally just told me this. And so for the next year, I started applying all over the church for different jobs. Like, hey, maybe he was just saying I wasn't here for that role. But every job I applied for, it was not a fit. And then I had 3 jobs in 3 years. And I had, you know, 3 new bosses. I had 3 bosses in 3 years. And the turnover was crazy. And the moving around was crazy. And it was just wild. And so God really was telling me, no, you're going to a different church. But I didn't want to believe it. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, maybe it's a different campus, whatever. But I still just kept having this, like, this isn't right. This isn't you. Things aren't going the way you want. And so I finally just called a meeting with HR and just said, man, I don't know what to do, but I think this is my last day. And so it was wild. Never thought that would happen. But 2 weeks before, Jarrett called me and said, you're coming down to Houston. And I said, what? No, I'm not. And he said, no, you're coming down to Houston. And it was July 4th. And I was like, let me pray about it. And 2 weeks later, I was like, I'm done. Like, this is my next thing. So, but that was super sad because I poured into these teams. I led the whole campus. And so it was just so hard because all these people I cared about and loved and that transition, the next 30 days were some of the darkest moments because did I make the wrong choice? You know, I'm not an Astros fan, you know, like it was just, it was overwhelming. I mean, like,
wow.
That was part of it, y'all. That was part of it. I went to a Rangers Astros game the other day and I left because it was so crazy. Adolis struck out and the whole place lost their mind. And I was like, I gotta get out of here. And so yeah, is that helpful?
Yes.
Is that helpful to talk about? Like, even though it was my decision, And I felt God leading me, and I had a year to prepare. Still wasn't ready.
Yeah.
So, yes, ma'am. Yes, Nancy.
I just turned 70 a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, no way. You don't look 70.
I fractured my ankle.
Oh.
At work.
Oh, no.
Previous to that, my home was attacked by a person with a knife.
Oh, no.
I had heart issues, ended up having my heart shot.
Wow.
And then I had heart surgery.
Wow.
All within 6 months.
Wow.
And after I fractured my ankle, my boss said she was going to lay me off.
Wow.
It will be at the end of February.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, just, I would never have wished this on my worst enemy.
Right.
But I didn't miss work.
Yeah.
I kept being there. And I don't know, I'm having to work through.
Absolutely.
What you're saying. And yeah. Today, you know, last night I applied for a job.
Oh, good.
But way below my pay scale.
Right.
You know, just to have something to do.
I'm with you.
And I got a rejection.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nancy.
So it's like, this transition is so new. I've never ever walked this way before.
Yeah. See, you're preparing, you're thinking it through, and
having to apply for Social Security and all this new stuff, you know.
You question your value, you question your worth, you question, you know, all of that. And
what am I going to do with my life? I'm by myself, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sitting at home by myself.
Well,
that's
well, I'll say Houston's First loves you. I think you know that.
Yeah.
And we want to be with you through this transition. But we want you to grieve and let go and experience. We don't want you to rush it because that'll hurt. You know, that'll be worse. So I'm not going to tell you it's all going to work out, even though I do believe that. And I'm not going to tell you everything's going to be fine. I'm just going to tell you this sucks, like it does.
In prayer, I asked God to heal my heart.
Yes.
He did.
Wow.
And I never had blood pressure issues, and my blood pressure was 207, 209, blah, blah, blah. He healed my blood pressure.
Amen.
My fractured ankle is healed, but the tendon is still torn.
Yeah.
So it hurts every day.
Every day.
You know, but it's getting better, you know.
Okay.
And I have seen God miraculously healing me.
Wow.
And I was like, God, what are you preparing me for?
Right.
You know?
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's big. I mean, I think just sharing that and letting us know, we can validate and tell you we're with you. Man. And so this is real. Like, you don't know you need this stuff until you need it. You know? And some of us, we would never want to be a part of that club. But you're in some of the worst clubs out there of a child dying, of infidelity with the spouse. And so that's the goal here, is to give you some tools just to put a little bit more handles on this. So, yeah, that's the goal. We just want to be there for each other.
One of the things that helped me so much, and I still do it, because things still come up. You know, life just doesn't stop.
No.
You can be going up, and then all at once, I'm back down. Something else happened. I talk to myself. I'll talk to myself and I'll say the truth.
That's great.
You know, I speak the truth. And
it's really good.
Yeah, and then I'll tell other people, I'll be more open, like, this is happening. You know, used to be I was more reticent to talk about things that were negative in my life because I thought they might think less of me. And they could. I don't care anymore. I'm just going to say it's this bad.
Yeah.
It is, like you said, it's just this bad.
Yep.
I'm not sure why. I can't understand it, and I may never understand it, but you know what? God's going to do. Now, for me, if I say all that and I'm working through it with talking, then I say, I'm going to trust you. You're going to do something with this.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it is, but something's changing in me, you know?
That's great. Right.
Something's changing in you as you go through this, and it's something I believe is going to be good.
Yeah.
You know? But talking, and when I grieve to the toenails. Yeah. I will cry. I will go in the room and face what I'm seeing that I'll never see again. Like, say, grandchildren in my house. Something like that. And I just say, feel it. Feel it all the way.
Yeah.
Don't leave any stone unturned.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's just being real, right?
I mean, it's so real.
Good.
Because I don't, I want to get it cleansed.
Good.
Cleanse it.
And if you don't, it will come out. It just comes out sideways. And you just never know what it could be. I'm not much of a crier. I'm just not. But when my son dropped out of Cub Scouts, I lost my mind. Because I was an Eagle, and I wanted him to be Eagle, and my dad wanted him to be Eagle. And my wife walked in our bedroom, and I had pictures of him all over the bed in his little Cub Scout uniform. And I was bawling, and it felt great, you know? And she was really good at it. I'm really terrible at it, but she was really good at comforting me and loving on me. And still to this day, when I get like an Eagle Scout email, I'm like, man, that sucks. Like, I hate this. But I'm so like, you know, it just comes out in different people in different ways. I would have never thought that. So expect overreaction. She should have expected overreaction to him dropping out of Cub Scouts, because she didn't know how much it meant to me. All right, let's work on the neutral zone. So this is super scary. The neutral zone, we look at it on the beginning side, the beginning of the inside. It can be like, I have no clue what's next. I have no clue what the future is, no clue what's going to happen next, no clue if I'm going to get that job, no clue what's going to happen. And the neutral job, the neutral zone can be this super scary thing. So just remember, the goal is just to get through it. All right, we just want to get through the neutral zone. All right. So if the goal is just to get through the neutral zone, that's a good goal. I just want, you know, Debbie, you said your brother. We just want to help him get through the neutral zone. We don't care what it is. We just want to help him get through it at his time, at his pace. And so with that comes some good wisdom. We want to redefine it. We just want to tell ourselves, hey, this is a time for new ideas. This is a time for exploration. This is a time for learning I didn't get to do before. This is a time for opportunities. And God, what have you been trying to tell me that I've actually kind of blocked you out, because I've been so focused on my life that now that I've had this change, I have a little bit more time to think about you and your will. And so we're going to redefine the neutral zone. And instead of being scared, we're going to say, okay, it's an opportunity, not a threat. It's God's going to do something. We're in discover mode, not defend mode. We create temporary rules just to keep us on track. I'm still going to go to church. I'm still going to talk to my friends. I don't feel like talking to anybody. I don't feel like going to church. But I'm going to create some temporary rules because my goal is to get through in one piece. So we can help somebody who says, I don't know what to do next. And we say, well, let's just come up with some basic rules. Like, what do you think is good? And let's just do that. Because we're going to get you through the neutral zone. We're going to strengthen our connections during the neutral zone. So we're going to reach out to people we haven't talked to in a while. We're going to deepen relationships that we feel like we've neglected. We're going to invest in new relationships and let those new relationships speak into us. And through that, man, we're going to leverage the neutral zone. Because here's the truth. The neutral zone will end. And when it ends, you don't have any more time. You're working on the new thing. You're in the new mode. And so I had a neutral zone part. You know, I told you I left this church, and it let me do a lot of introspection, reading books on who you are, your unique makeup, your skills. I came up with two words for my life. These are two things that make me who I am. I took personality assessments. I just did whatever I could to learn as much as I could about who I am and where I can grow. And just strengthen connections with new people that can help me. And I'm going to be creative. I'm going to try new things. I'm going to experiment, see what hobbies I like now and I don't like. I'm just going to try stuff. Y'all remember COVID? Did anybody get a COVID hobby? Mm-hmm. Anybody do a new hobby during COVID? What was your hobby now?
Cooking.
Cooking, yeah. What and what would you like to cook during COVID?
Brisket.
Yeah. Nice.
Pork rolls.
I like you.
crawfish boils.
Ooh, that's good, right?
Yeah.
So it's the COVID was a neutral zone for all of us. So I learned how to cook steak during COVID. And so I tried different steaks and different barbecues. And I even bought like a Ninja grill. And those make the best steaks, by the way. I mean, it's not very manly, but it's really cool. And so I just throw some filet mignons on the Ninja grill, and they'd come out amazing. And, oh, man, we tried so many cooking recipes during COVID. It's a time to experiment. It's a time to be creative. It's a time to try new things. So let's redefine it. It's the scariest thing for most people, but it can also be some of the most creative, experimental, free time. And the final thing is we want to actually launch into a new beginning. So let me say one more thing. In the neutral zone, we can have a lot of doubts. Doubt in God, doubt in who we are, our own value. We can doubt His purpose for our life. We can doubt just a lot. And one of the greatest sermons I ever heard was doubt your doubts. And that'd be my biggest encouragement to y'all. And when you're struggling with doubt and questioning, take a second and doubt your doubts. Wait, why am I thinking this? Why am I putting my faith in doubt and questioning? What do I remember about my God and what He's done for me? And it causes us just to give a little bit of a reset during the neutral zone to doubt your doubts. Like, don't believe everything you think about yourself, especially at 10 o'clock after you ate, like, you know, Taco Bell. Like, probably not your best brain chemistry. So, after you doubt your doubts, with launching with the new beginning, I'll just put all four up. These all work together. So what we want is we want a picture. So as we're working on our new beginning, we have to help somebody picture what is it they want. What would that picture look like? Have them describe it. Have them add adjectives and paint it. Or I'm sorry, that's the second one. It's the purpose. We don't always know the purpose, but we can go back to Scripture for the purpose and what God wants to do next. And so it's a little bit unclear, the purpose, but we know God has a purpose, and we work through, man, what do you think this next stage of life could be about? What do you think the purpose is for this stage of life? What do we think God could do at this new stage of life? And then that lets you paint a picture. So ask somebody, what would it look like to you? If you had the perfect solution, what could it be? And you help somebody kind of just work through imagery and ideas of what a new beginning could look like. Of what a new opportunity could be. And when we got here, I said, well, hey, we're going to work at Champion Forest, so we're going to live in the Champion Forest neighborhood, which is how my brain works. And my wife said, whoa, 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 what if we lived out in like a rural area and we had a bigger house and we got to be like in a smaller school district or whatever, and it was just this kind of like new beginning, like, okay, paint the picture, keep going, like, tell me more. She's like, I've heard about this town called Tomball, and like, they got a good school district, and, you know, the houses are a little, like, newer, and so she's painting this picture for me, and I really pushed back, and then I said, no, I'm kind of buying your picture better than my picture, and it was able for us to work through a new reality, and I bought into her picture, and so we went with it. One pastor said this, what is it again? He says this, if you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it. Okay. I really like this. This is a vision thing. If you don't see it, that means if you don't dream it before you see it, that means physically see it, then you won't see it. It will never actually happen. You have to see the future before it ever happens to actually connect with that. So when Carrie's painting this picture and saying, hey, can't you picture us being in this Tomball and we're going to live here and it's going to be great and the kids are going to like these schools and we're going to be just next to the woodlands and we're going to have all this nature. I could see that. And so when I said, yeah, I see that, great, we're going to make a plan to see it. We're going to get that done. So if you don't see it before you see it, you'll never see it. Is that clear enough? That's pretty good, right? You can use that, Leon.
Thank you.
Don't quote me too, man. Just say,
dude.
Well, that's Jack Graham if you really want to quote somebody. So yeah, I don't know if you can say that. Yeah, JG. JG. He also did the Doubt Your Doubts. So we do help people know there is a purpose to this. We don't always know the full purpose. We paint a picture. We come up with a plan. And you give everybody who's grieving a part to play. What's your part to play in this new beginning? And we're still working on that. Like with our kids, what's your part to play? And how do you fit in to being a part of this decision and not just being mom and dad? It kind of pained my heart because we were getting our house ready and my daughter said, quit doing that. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she said, Zane keeps spitting on the stairs. I was like, that is one weird kid. All right, like... You get that from her side. What's wrong with you? And he said, well, whenever I walk up the stairs in our new house, brand new house, I spit on the stairs. And I said, why are you spitting on the stairs? And he goes, because I hate this house. And I'm like, And I said, well, man, like, you better get used to it because, like, this is our house. And he's like, no, we'll probably move in 2 years. Don't you think? You'll just switch to another church. And I'm like, oh. All right. So he's got this bet going on that, oh, no, it's been a year, but just give it to you, you know. And he's still working through it. Like, he's still transitioning. I don't know why I erased it. Did I erase that?
I didn't see it either.
It's almost 10 o'clock, guys. And so it was kind of hard. So I said, for me and the resale value of this house, would you please not spit on the stairs anymore? And okay, I won't spit on the stairs. And now we're painting his room, and he's kind of getting excited. Like, there might be some longevity here. And we're adding some fun things, and he's getting excited. And he knows the kids on the street, and he's getting excited. So... you know, he needs a part to play in the transition too. And so with y'all and young adults, it's a big deal when you go from college class to the young adult class. When you go from the young single class to a young marriage class, that's a huge change too. And when you move from the young married to the young with kids class, and so just check in with your people and ask them what their part is and what they're doing and what they missed, their loss, and what new ideas have they had, and what their vision is for the future. Just check in. And Nancy, I'll be thinking about you this week. And these are just 4 steps to help somebody with a new beginning. So, Judy, have you noticed this with your new beginning? Just you feel a purpose. You kind of have a picture of what it looks like. Yeah?
It's the purpose. It's the plan that I never wanted. But yet, it's the best plan I can really have.
That's
without
awesome.
Without having the loss.
Yeah.
I wanted a family that would, I was married 46 years.
Yeah.
So this was a long-term thing. And so now it's been 3 years. And I've had a small, a singles group meeting at home every week.
Wow.
For a year now. Uh-huh. And it's divorced, you know, deceased spouse or loved ones, children, deceased children, you know, and then just unmarried, never married. So it's really remarkable. So, I have something. So I always tell people I never wanted to be single.
Yeah.
That was like, and I'd never want to be in that singles group.
Because yeah.
They're all messed up or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to be with them.
Yeah.
So God's like,
yeah.
Yes, you're going to be.
Yeah.
And you're going to do things that you never could have imagined.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not great with the loss, but it's great that there's the plan and there's the purpose.
Everything
and there's a picture.
You said at home. I mean, it's good to look back and say it was good. I saw it there at Seaside, Florida, when we all went as a family. There were 18 of us.
Yeah.
But this has been so destabilizing that it affects everybody in the family.
Absolutely.
So, but to get through that neutral zone is to say, you know, it was a huge loss. I'm going to grieve that to the nth degree, but I'm also not going to forget
it's
what
good.
You gave me, God. It's about God.
Yeah.
You gave me that. You
That's
gave
great.
Me 8 grandkids. You gave me 4 kids in their marriages.
I love that.
You know? And even though it had to end right here, there's more for me. And yeah, it's going to be.
It's great.
It's a journey.
Yep. A transition does not succeed unless there is a new beginning. And it takes time to get there. Could be years. It could be your own time frame. But with that in mind, it gives us something to look forward to. So I love that. I love your new beginning. I absolutely do.
One thing I want to say that came up in my mind. When I was in the neutral zone, living in an apartment for a year because my house got kind of destroyed during that freeze in 2021.
Yeah,
I couldn't move back in my house, so they were building it. But I remember leaving this apartment one day in my car, and I didn't really know. I was just going to walk in Vienna. I was going to go to a different spot with my car so I'd have a different route to walk. And I just thought, live simply and obediently.
That's good.
Live simply and obediently. Don't make this more than it is. It's what you can live this simple life and obey what you know is right to do.
It's really good.
That really helped me.
Those are temporary rules. Like, do this
temporary rules.
To get through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
Don't think of anything else.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Well, thank y'all so much. You made it to 10. I do want to pray over us. And then I think...
Remember the author of the book?
I don't remember. It's got a big butterfly on it.
But
remember, the book is the book is really good. It's a psychological book,
right.
But it was the way they're going to make their money is they tailored it toward businesses, mm-hmm. how businesses can work through transitions. So, you know, if you've got a leader or a business-y person, that it'll be an easy read for them too. Well, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this night, and Father, we thank you for leaders. We thank you for Houston's First, and so God, we pray that today as we just evaluate some things that have happened in our lives, as we're reminded, as God, we reflect, you would help us lead others through transitions well, and that we would respect the loss that they have. We wouldn't hurry them through it. We would sit with them through it. That God, we would honor the past and honor what you've done in the past, knowing that this world is sinful and Satan is active. And so, God, we want to thank you for the good you've done. Would you please help us as we lead people in one piece to a new beginning where they can find purpose and they have a picture that is breathed by you, Father. It's inspired by you because it's for you. And so, God, that's our prayer, that through all the transitions of life, that we would be people who still stand for your name, for your kingdom and your glory. And we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys.
Amen. Yeah.